Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to talk about over the next hour. We'll be looking back at last night's Championship results. We'll also be looking ahead to tonight's fixtures as well. 5 in total in the Championship. Our focus this afternoon will be on Fulham, Leeds, Barnsley and Charlton. Any fans of those clubs, make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. This next hour is all about you, the Championship fans out there, as we go through this week of midweek Championship fixtures. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. Remember to get in contact with us this afternoon. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, this hour is dedicated to all 24 Championship clubs. Obviously, we look to cover as many every single day. 3, 4, 5 Championship clubs every day. So we cover all of you around the country, no matter whether you're at the top, whether you're a West Brom fan, or whether you're down the bottom if you are a Barnsley fan. We're all about you, the fans out there, for this hour. This is your opportunity to share your views. Looking at some of the results from last night, we had 7 fixtures last night. We're going to have 5 again tonight. Looking back at last night's results then, Birmingham won 1-0 at home against Blackburn. To the Den, it wasn't quite Gary Rowett's first game in charge. He was in the stands though. Millwall 2, Cardiff 2. Millwall had to come from 1-0 and 2-1 behind to get a point there. Preston won all at home against Leeds. A late goal from Eddie Nketiah sealed a point for Leeds. I'm sure we'll be getting the views on Nketiah and whether he should be starting for Leeds later in the hour. QPR 2, Reading 2. So for Mark Bowen, 4 points from his first 2 games. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Stoke 0. Big shock at the Liberty Stadium. Swansea 0, Brentford 3. And West Brom had to come from 2-0 down against bottom of the table Barnsley to draw 2-2 at home. Tonight's fixtures, Bristol City at home against Charlton, Derby host Wigan, Fulham at home against Luton, Huddersfield to take on Middlesbrough, and Nottingham Forest are against Hull City. One of those games, as I mentioned tonight, is Fulham. They're up at home at Craven Cottage against Luton. And to talk all things Fulham, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jack Collins from the Fulhamish podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jack. Before we look ahead to tonight's game, it must have been a shock for you on the weekend going to Stoke, who've been really quite poor this season, and Fulham lost by 2-0 at Stoke. Does perhaps their position mask that they actually do have a pretty good squad, and was it as big a shock as perhaps other people are suggesting it is?
I mean, I think their squad's perfectly fine and they should probably be higher up the division than they are, but they had almost the same problem last year where they couldn't score goals, and this year, you know, it's been very much more of the same until the weekend where we managed to gift them to. So obviously a disappointing result for us, you know, especially given their league position. We've now lost to them and Barnsley away already this season, which is not kind of the results you want to be looking for if you are challenging for an automatic place. But I don't think anyone was, you know, wildly shocked, especially after seeing the formation that Parker went for with wing-backs of Cavallero and Knockhart. It was always going to be a little bit of a struggle, I think, defensively to keep them out. And they've been creating a lot of chances, just not putting them away. And unfortunately for us, they put 2 of them away at the weekend. And that was very much that.
one of the things I've been seeing from Fulham fans is one of the criticisms of Fulham this season is inconsistency. That's been the club's biggest problem, throwing away leads against good sides, losing games, as you mentioned, for example, in the opening weekend against Barnsley, which was their last win to date. Would you agree with that, that the biggest problem for Scott Parker's side this season so far has been a lack of consistency?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, individual errors as well. I think if you look at those games where we threw away leads, individual errors have accounted for quite a lot of them. And so it was against Stoke at the weekend as well. So I think it's making sure that those errors are cut out and finding a formation and a system that works for Parker and not kind of just sticking in all the players he thinks should be on the pitch. You know, you need to find some balance in the squad. And while that formation and those changes worked when we were chasing the game against Charlton, they didn't work on the weekend because, you know, away from home, you can't expect to play, you know, two out-and-out defenders. You know, one of our most creative outlets this year has been Joe Bryan. Playing him in sort of on the left of a back three really does stymie his creativity in some ways and expect to get results. So I think he needs to sort of take it back to basics, work out what his system is. And whilst Lovis Jukanovic had many faults, you know, under his tenure, one of his things was he knew his system. He knew how he wanted to play. And no matter how, you know, up against it we were, he went with that system. And Scott has the exact opposite problem where he keeps shifting around and changing things to try and work in the likes of Bobby Reid into the squad. And while that's, you know, admirable in some ways, he does need to sort of just get a grip on it and go, right, this is how I'm playing. Those players who are, you know, first choice will play and you're going to have to work really hard to get into the team. And I think that that's been his downfall in many ways this season.
Do you think, Jack, that Scott Parker's under any serious pressure at the moment? Or do you think both Fulham fans and the Fulham board will be patient with him and won't feel like pulling the trigger yet?
Yeah, I don't think he's under serious pressure. I think there are grumblings of discontent that are mostly about, you know, his kind of system, his lack of system, that kind of lack of identity that we seem to have in this area. So I think that that's where the main concerns are. And I'm sure that people will be looking at it and thinking, oh, he should be doing better with this squad. I'm sure he's looking at it and going, I should be doing better with this squad. But ultimately, I think they'll have patience with him. There are kind of grumblings of, oh, is Parker the man for the job? But I think he'll be given a fair amount of time to get this right. Yeah, we're 2 points clear of where we were in that promotion season. And it's made to feel like less because of the way that the league is kind of concertinaed up at the moment in many regards. Because, you know, a win tonight and we're 2 points off the automatic places already. And we haven't really hit stride yet, apart from maybe that game against Millwall. So it does make, you know, sense to give him that time. And I think they will.
That first season is always the most challenging one. Can you bounce straight back into the league? Because there are a number of sides in the Championship that were Premier League clubs 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago who have failed to get back in to the Premier League at the first attempt, and then they're still languishing there. So, especially with all the money that Fulham spent 12 months ago, that there's that sense of pressure that they have to get back into the Premier League, that obviously you have the parachute payments for the first few years out of the Premier League, but if you don't manage to get up either at the first attempt or the second attempt, then it can be difficult to find yourself back in there. So that might be an interesting thing for Fulham going forward this season, is that can they deal with that, not necessarily an expectation, because I'm not sure whether Fulham fans say it's kind of boom or bust, that it's all or nothing this season, that if they don't get back in, then it's a disaster. But if you want to be back in the Premier League, you really need to do it either at the first attempt or the second attempt, because it does get harder and harder. And as I said, there are plenty of examples in the Championship. You look through the number of sides in the Championship that were in the Premier League not that long ago, that you can find yourself kind of being stuck in the Championship. For many, it is the hardest league to get out of in a positive sense. I mean, obviously you don't want to be thrown out of the bottom of it, but to get promoted into the Premier League is hard enough. And you look at as Jack was mentioning, how concertina it is at the top. There are so many teams in the top. You look really from Cardiff in 13th to West Brom at the top, there are only 8 points. So there really isn't a lot. 13 games into a season, and the difference between top of the table and mid-table is only 8 points. Really not a lot of difference between those. So that's something that Fulham have to deal with. They'll be looking to bounce back. They're in action at home tonight against Luton, who had an emphatic result on the weekend. winning 3-0 against Bristol City. So a big game for Fulham to get back to winning ways after that disappointing defeat to Nathan Jones's Stoke. So they're up at home, Craven Cottage. It's Fulham versus Luton. Looks like a good, intriguing game. And if you fancy going along, tickets are still available at fulhamfc.com. So if you want it, there are some tickets still available for that game at Craven Cottage tonight between Fulham and Luton. So if you fancy going along, tickets are still available at fulhamfc.com. That's fulhamfc.com. Looking at some of the other games tonight, Bristol City hoping to bounce back from defeat at the weekend. They host Lee Bowyer's Charlton. And an interesting statistic for you for Charlton. If they win tonight away at Ashton Gate, they will overtake Liverpool in league points won in 2019, only behind Manchester City across all four divisions. I mean, that just highlights the job that Lee Bowyer's done. It's well documented, and we're not going to drag it up again about the constraints that he's under. But that is ridiculous. That is phenomenal, considering Liverpool were on a 17-match winning run, which ended with a draw at Old Trafford on Sunday. So Liverpool have acquired a huge, ridiculous number of points this year. Manchester City have acquired a ridiculous number of points this year. So for Charlton to potentially be placed in between City and Liverpool for points gained in 2019 is utterly phenomenal. It's a testament to how good a job Lee Bowyer is doing at Charlton. They play away at Bristol City tonight. Derby, Philip Cocu's side, are at home against Wigan, who caused a bit of a shock on Sunday afternoon by beating Nottingham Forest, who have been one of the surprise packages and real high flyers this year. Huddersfield are at home against Middlesbrough, two sides that are languishing just above the relegation. So Danny Cowley, who took over as the Huddersfield manager about 4 weeks ago, he's got back-to-back, or he's got four unbeaten now. So they're getting on a little bit of a run, gaining a little bit of momentum and starting to get things going his way. So Huddersfield are at home against Middlesbrough. Jonathan Woodgate under some serious pressure at the moment. Now, some of the Middlesbrough guys that we've talked to have said that he isn't under pressure and that they will remain very patient with him. But I wonder whether that will still be the case in a month's time. If Middlesbrough is still down languishing in the relegation zone, then they might be forced to make that decision. And Nottingham Forest are at home against Hull City. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to be talking about Barnsley and Charlton later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things Leeds.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Leeds. They drew 1-1 away at Deepdale against Preston last night. And to look back at that game, I'm delighted to say we are joined by Keith Ingham, co-owner of the Leeds blog site We All Love Leeds. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Keith. After that 1-1 draw, there was a sense of frustration for Marcelo Bielsa that Leeds couldn't get over the line and win the game, that perhaps they deserved all 3 points. Would that be a view that you share, that Leeds perhaps should have got all 3 points?
The same story that we've been doing all season. Good football, a little bit slower than sort of like summit games recently. Then maybe a little bit ponderous in some attacks, but chances created, 3 or 4 first half. And the thing is, the more chances you create and the more you miss, it's got a habit of biting you in the derriere. And that's what Preston did. They broke away, scored a quick goal, and it was backs against the walls. But bowed on by 5,000 screaming Leeds fans, we got it, and Eddie Nketiah scored the goal. And I've got to be honest now, is that I'm all for loyalty. I think Bamford's done very well, but he's a £7 million striker who ain't scoring goals. And we've got a young lad who's keen, and it's time. And if Bielsa doesn't do it this time, it's his stubbornness. And I can see that as a little chinking a man who I've got great respect for, but I think he sometimes can be a little stubborn. It's time to change, time to bring a couple of new faces in. I think Tyler Roberts is prime for a number 10 role or something like that. And I don't know, we've got to do something, because you can't continue to create chance after chance after chance, and you've got to win you've got to get sometimes two goals because you kind of know that you're going to concede. I know we've got still the meanest defence, but you, when you get these games and they're all 1-0s, all you need is a little chance for the opposition, and they've got an equaliser, and that's happened quite a lot this season.
Do you think there's perhaps a case for saying, Keith, that potentially Eddie Nketiah and Patrick Bamford could play up top together, or is it a case of it can only be one or the other?
I think Bielsa's quite stuck in his ways. He's always played one up top. So unless he decides to move Eddie on wing, which I don't think would be effective, he's got to fit a system where you can get, you know, Bamford. To me, for me, if you've won a game by 60 minutes, that's a great time to bring Bamford on because he holds the ball up really well. But if you're still struggling to score at 60 minutes, then it puts a lot of onus on a young man coming on. And to be honest, every time he comes on field, fans are expecting him to score. That's not the reality. He's a really good... He will... And the thing is, I think he'll play for Arsenal. When he goes back, maybe the season after next, I think he'll start for Arsenal. He's such a good talent. And I think if we don't utilise that talent when it comes to January, we could lose him. And I don't think we'll replace him with the same kind of standard striker.
Is that your real worry, Keith, and the worry for all these fans, is that he is making an impression when he comes off the bench? He's scoring goals. He scored for the England under-21s. He's scoring goals even though he's not playing that many minutes for Leeds. Do you think it is a realistic kind of concern that by January, he might even be the one to say, well, if I'm not going to start, I'm going to go and start somewhere else, and it could potentially be at a championship rival of Leeds?
I think when he came to Leeds, I think there were at least four clubs after him. And we're a German side. I know the Bristol City were after him. And he's, you know, people are able to look at him. And if they can guarantee him first team football, yeah, it could be a problem. As far as I know, Leeds have got an agreement in place for Nketiah to stay at Leeds for the complete season. I don't know if they could break. I don't know if the player can break it. But we worked really hard to get that. Victor Orta worked very hard to get that, and provided the evidence that Arsenal were happy. Now it's up to Bielsa. Because I think if he starts Nketiah, there's going to be some games when he doesn't score. That's a fact. Strikers sometimes do that. But his goal ratio is, I think it's 1 in 77 minutes. Patrick Bamford hasn't scored in 8 games. It speaks itself. You can be loyal with players, but I think, there were quite a lot of frustration at final whistle because that was a game we should have won. No disrespect to Preston, but we battered them without getting the goals. And that's been the same in the vast majority of games we've played this season. Is that possession-wise, we seem to have 60, 70% every game, but we only have like one or two, you know. I think we scored 3 goals against Bristol City. And there were some games we should be racking them up. I can understand if there were little chances, but these, what they created last night, were really good chances. And you'd expect a £7 million striker to stick them away. I ain't getting on the Patrick Bamford's back because I think that's very unfair. But if you're a striker and you are struggling, your confidence is bound to go down. And I think as a player, it'd benefit a chance to actually have a look from the bench. And, you know, for Nketiah again, but it's all in the hands of Mr. Bielsa, because Bielsa's quite stubborn. And if he wants to play Bamford on Saturday, he'll play him, without doubt.
Considering where Preston are in the table, they're currently fifth, just a couple of points behind Leeds. I know you said that, based on the performance, Leeds should have really got 3 points. But in the general context, if we look at things in the wider perspective, actually, is this a particularly bad point? Even though there'll be that nagging frustration for the likes of you, Keith, that you wonder what could have been. Actually, maybe in 2 months' time, you'll look back at this game at Deepdale. Preston have been a good side for the last 12 months. That actually, in the grander scheme of things, this isn't a bad point at all.
No, I'd have took a point at the beginning, at the start of proceedings, because Preston have got an impressive home record. I wish we had a home record like it. I think it's 5-1 or something like that. I know they've won more than they've drawn and not lost. And you know, it's but they hadn't. They had one shot on goal last night, really. No, sorry, two. One what Sir Casilia said, but the majority of the game we just battered them. It were leads nearly all the time, and they've very frequently got through. And it's the same old adage. I do obviously on my blogs and on I do a bit for local paper, and I keep mentioning it time after time after time about chances being created. And there is games when we'll lose them because we haven't taken the chances. Swansea were a perfect example. Had so much possession, they get a late goal and we've lost.
One man that I know you've been very complimentary of so far this season, Keith, is Ben White at centre-back. He's been linked with a number of moves to Premier League clubs, the likes of Liverpool, interested in him. How good a young player is he? How good can he become?
The best compliment I can pay him is to compare him with a player who's sadly not with us anymore, Paul Madeley. Effortless in possession of the ball, got a beautiful pass on him. Looks for his age, he looks assured. He looks when Cooper's at side, they look good. But with Berardi, I ain't right sure. But Berardi's a great competitor, so fair but to him. Wim, him and Cooper are great. But Ben White will play for a top four side, and eventually he'll play for England. So we are getting blessed for the season, because after the season, you know, even if we're lucky to go up in promotion, I think the money what Brighton will be talking of is out of Leeds' pockets. But to see him in a Leeds side, he's proper class. I'd say, I mean, it's a biased view because I'm a Leeds fan, but if I could pick two players who I could put on the fringes of England's side with what England have got on money, I'd put Ben White as a backup centre back and Calvin Phillips, because I don't think he's a better holding midfielder in game, not outside of Prem.
Looking forward to the games that Leeds are coming up, they've got three home games against QPR, Blackburn. Sorry, two home games against QPR and Blackburn afterwards. But Saturday's game is looking like a tough one away at Sheffield Wednesday. They've made a good start under Gary Monk since he took over, 1 point behind Leeds. This is going to be a tough game. But do you think actually? You've mentioned the home form has been a little bit patchy for Leeds. So, in some ways, will playing away from home actually suit them on Saturday?
Well, as home, you know, after that disastrous day back in May, as home form hasn't been that good, I think we need a couple of wins, you know. But QPR and Blackburn are no mugs. There's no easy games in this championship. Every game you've got to go and you've got to give them 100% respect. You'd think Barnsley went to West Brom last night and they were 2-0 up. In fact, they could have been 3-0 up. But you've got to give everybody respect. But I'd like to think that two home wins could be done. Saturday against old Snake Eyes, Gary Monk. It could be a feisty affair. And I think a lot depends on how we set up. I'd like to think that Bielsa's big enough to accept that, yeah, I'll make a couple of changes. I think I'd like to see Roberts at 10, and I'd like to see Eddie up front. And I think everything else is set up right. We are playing some good football. We are creating chances. If we want creating chances to be a big problem, but we are creating chances. And I think Eddie's the man to stick him in back at net.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Keith. That was Keith Ingham, co-owner of the Leeds blog site We All Love Leeds, giving his views in particular on Eddie Nketiah. It's the hot topic in the Championship as well as from Leeds fans. Should he be getting the start? He said on England under 21 duty during the most recent international break that he is growing frustrated at constantly being on the bench. And based on what he's doing, all you can do if you're on the bench is take advantage of the kind of few opportunities you get in the small periods you're on the pitch, taking advantage. And he is certainly doing that. He is scoring goals off the bench. Yesterday's was a really good header at the back post. Considering he's not he's not a massive centre forward, is he? He's not a big 6'5" guy that's going to dominate, and a looping header back across that just went across the line and dying embers of the game. He is taking his opportunities, and it does feel like he has earned that spot in the team. It seems unlikely from what Keith said, because of potentially Marcelo Bielsa's stubbornness, that he's going to start both Patrick Bamford and Eddie Nketiah. But it does seem like he has kind of pushed himself into a position where maybe he does deserve that start. Any Leeds fans out there, should Nketiah now be starting for Leeds up front? And do you agree that Ben White will definitely go on to play for England? Also, Keith, believing that Calvin Phillips is a player that should be knocking on the door for England, call us on 0208 70 20558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to be talking a little bit about Charlton later in the hour, but one of the big shock results, it could have been even better for the away side at the Hawthorns yesterday. It was the top club up against bottom. West Brom coming from 2-0 down to draw 2-2. But we're going to get the Barnsley perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558, or you can WhatsApp us on that very same number. There are a couple of big shock results in the Championship last night. Swansea going down by 3-0 at home against Brentford, a surprise there. And also at the Hawthorns, it could have been one hell of a result for the away side, as Barnsley were 2-0 up an hour into the game at tabletop as West Brom, but the Baggies scored 2 goals in the final half hour to mean it was 2-2, and Barnsley's wait for a win since the opening weekend of the season continues. To talk all things Barnsley now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Carlo from the Reds Report. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Carlo. On the hour mark, were you dreaming of a first win since the opening weekend being 2-0 up, or do you think it was inevitable that at some point West Brom's quality was going to shine through, and therefore it was going to be tough for Barnsley to get all 3 points?
Yeah, I suppose it was always, I mean, in dreamland, come on, you're 2-0 up against top of the table West Brom. I think the inexperience and, you know, not winning for quite some time, it's almost like you have to get used to it. And I think the substitution played a key part, because I think we lost a little bit of shape when the substitutions were made. Now, I do think the first goal for West Brom was actually an own goal by Diaby. I mean, he hasn't seen the replay, but he definitely reacted like he knocked it in his own net. But as a Barnsley fan, going through everything we've gone through this season, you know, to play at home against Swansea with a caretaker manager and, it ends up 1-1, that stops that rot at home of, you know, continually losing. Then to go away a few days later to play West Brom, you know, on a Tuesday night under the lights, I mean, West Brom, top of the table, playing some awesome football. To go 2-0 up and to lose, and to draw 2-2, that is disappointing. But I tell you what, 99% of Barnsley fans would have taken a point before kickoff, wouldn't they?
Do you think that's the positive sign for Barnsley, that even though they were 2-0 up with half an hour to go, they've got a 2-2 draw against West Brom? You talked about that game against Swansea as well. It's back-to-back draws, that at least there's signs of things starting to pick up a little bit, even though the wins aren't coming, that at least performances as well as results are just gradually starting to pick up.
I think so. I think, you know, the caretaker manager, Adam Murray, he's been, lucky is probably not the right word, you know, Diaby at centre-back, Dougal, defensive midfielder, both came back from long-term injuries, and he had them available for the first time when we played Swansea on Saturday. He tinkered with the formation and changed it. So we have been playing sort of like a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1. He changed it to a 3-1-4-2. And I think what we've seen is that Coley Woodrow is far more of a threat when he's been partnered up front with Connor Chaplin. And I think it gives defences something to think about. And, you know, yesterday the performance, although I think over the 90 minutes we had about 34% possession, to be able to score 2 goals, because this is what's been lacking. I've talked on your show before about, you know, we're not creating chances, we're not taking chances. A lot of Barnsley fans will tell you about Dimitri Cavare that, you know, he can be a little bit of a liability when he has to strike back, but he likes to go forward. And what he has got in his locker is he can put good balls into the area. By changing that formation to the three centre-backs and playing him out on the wing, I suppose he's got that licence to go up. And the header yesterday by Woodrow was from a Cavare cross. And I think the players seem a lot happier, a lot more vocal as well. I spoke to the coach, or to the stand-in manager, Adam Murray, after Saturday's draw, and sort of asked him about communication on the pitch, because a lot of Barnsley fans felt there was a bit of a, there's not really leadership on the pitch, and there were a lot more vocal, Kenny Dougal, Diaby, but also Alex Moward coming into that role. And every break in play, all the Barnsley players on Saturday went to the sideline to take instructions in from Del Tong, Christopher Stern and Adam Murray. So I think his words were, this is a very young squad. We've got, I think, the youngest squad in the Championship. You know, you can't stand on the sideline and expect them to know it all. They need coaching throughout. So those opportunities of a break in play he took to sort of say, watch this, do that, swap this. And the, you know, the result was visible, because they'll run through, you know, high and hell and high water for this manager. We've seen that. Players seem happier. You know, they're definitely more in their element. And we've cut out the silly little mistakes that we, you know, we did against Leeds at home, with Birmingham away, with each other Wednesday away. We seem to be cutting those little mistakes out. And, you know, two draws, it's not enough. It's quite ironic that probably one of the better performances at home meant we went to the, you know, the bottom of the league. But it's encouragement. And I think what the players can look back at is, these were always going to be two really, really hard matches when you've just sacked your manager, you know, confidence at all-time low. To come out of those matches with two, what I find, credible draws, that could only set you up against the Huddersfield side on Saturday, that, you know, their results started to come, but they're probably more towards our end of the table than anybody else we've played. So it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence as a Barnsley fan to say, actually, changing the formation, having these players back, we feel now that we're now able to show other teams in this division that we are able to compete in this division, and that's what we're going to be doing from now on.
Despite the fact that Barnsley's form has been pretty poor at the start of the season, one man that has been in good form is Cordie Woodrow, scored twice last night, scored five goals so far this season. How impressive has he been, and how impressive is it that he scored that number of goals, considering Barnsley are right down near the bottom, or right down at the bottom of the table?
I think that's where, you know, somebody with some pedigree stands out from a scorer that sort of like scores goals in this division. We've always said that Cordie Woodrow, from the moment he came in, he's got that ability. He looks at home as this division. And you know, he can score a header in the box, beat the goalkeeper and score. He can also take, you know, he can take two defenders on and slot it in the bottom corner. He's got that in his locker. All he needed these last few weeks is somebody up front to partner him to take some of the pressure off. When you play against a team that have got four or five at the back and he's on his own up front, it's very, very hard and unforgiving work to try and break that down and actually score a goal. So, you know, Chaplin's appearances under Daniel Stendel were mainly off the bench after 60, 65 minutes. It's very hard to make any sort of impact. He started both matches up front since Adam Murray took over. So it's going to be very interesting. I think it definitely helped Cordie Woodrow. I mean, we saw that yesterday with some well-taken goals. And it'd be interesting how long that goes on. We've heard rumours of four potential managers having been interviewed for the position. We're led to believe that these are, besides UK, out, well, as they call it, a worldwide search. We heard rumours that one of the members of the board had come back to America, so then you have to think, is there somebody there that maybe they could be interviewing? So, you know, whilst everybody was down in the dumps a couple of weeks ago when we talked on this show about the sacking of Daniel Stendel, I think the fans are still a bit begruntled about a very short statement and not knowing the ins and outs. But we can focus now actually on the pitching. Things are improving. And whilst we'll always remember Daniel Stendel as that German bloke who hardly spoke any English and took us back from, you know, Championship, we were relegated, straight back to the Championship in one season. And, you know, having, what was it, 20 clean sheets at home, unbeaten at home throughout that season. He'll always be remembered. And maybe he's laid down the foundation for a future manager to come in and help Barnsley sustain their Champions League status. Champions League, I wish. Championship status.
Are you surprised, Carlo, that Barnsley still haven't appointed a full-time replacement for Daniel Stendel? Does that imply they're perhaps being quite cautious or being careful with their appointment and taking time, or does it maybe imply they didn't necessarily have someone completely lined up to take the job if they were going to sack Stendel?
I think they learned from previous mistakes. Last time we appointed somebody really quick, he was called Jose Moraes, and well, we still don't know what he did, but you know, that never worked because we were relegated that season anyway. And I think Barnsley are always very conscious of this type of football they want to play. They need a manager who believes, A, in playing youngsters, because our oldest player on the pitch yesterday was Kenny Dougal at 26. And I think some championship teams, you could well be one of the juniors at that age. But he is the elder statement of our squad. So we need a coach that believes in that attacking, high-pressing football, but also that to be played with players when they've been brought into the club are under the age of 24. So I think the board are taking the time, and you know, the appointment needs to be right, because people will always compare whoever comes into Daniel Stendel, and the only way we're going to forget about that is by getting the results. I think Adam Murray's probably put his name into the hat with the results and the way we are playing. If he can sustain that and has the experience to do so, I suppose that remains to be seen. But, you know, the Reds are away at Huddersfield. It's a Yorkshire derby. I mean, it's West Yorkshire versus South Yorkshire, but it is a Yorkshire derby. And, you know, I'm sure Barnsley fans, will be in good voice. We've had a good following. And it's about building on the previous result. And, you know, two credible draws for Barnsley are a sign that maybe this is, you know, that little bit of light at the end of the tunnel that we can see. And we can now actually start competing rather than being, you know, a bit of a doormat for the other teams in this division.
And how do you see that game going on Saturday? As you mentioned, it's away at Huddersfield on Saturday afternoon. Are you confident that Barnsley can get a little bit of momentum, back-to-back draws now? Can they get that first win since the opening weekend against Fulham?
Yeah, I said on the show last week, they said, what is the best we could possibly realistically hope for? And I said, wouldn't it be great if we got 5 points from three matches? But, you know, I still feel we're able to get a result at Huddersfield. I think our style of play, if you don't get to grips with it, it can be very hard to combat, especially in you know, the new setup in the 3-1-4-2 formation that we are playing. And the players, I think yesterday especially, showed that they've got the bit between their teeth. The day that they honour the armed forces at Huddersfield. Can I just quickly mention a group of Barnsley fans from the fanzine A Up and Down are walking to Huddersfield to raise money for the British Legion. So the away side will be packed. It is a Yorkshire derby. What better way to start, you know, to get back to winning ways than maybe a cheeky 2-1 win away at Huddersfield?
And a fantastic cause. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Carlo. That was Carlo from the Reds Report, and great to hear of that walk to Huddersfield planned by the Barnsley away fans, all for a great cause. Huddersfield take on Barnsley on Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock kickoff. Barnsley still bottom of the table despite back-to-back draws. Huddersfield are third from bottom, but Danny Cowley starting to get his side going. They play Middlesbrough at home tonight in the Championship, do Huddersfield. Obviously, plenty of games to look forward to tonight. Derby host Wigan, Fulham are at home against Luton, Huddersfield are playing Middlesbrough, and Nottingham Forest are against Hull City. But up next, we'll be looking forward to the game at Ashton Gate. Bristol City are the host, but we'll be talking about the away side Charlton next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to share your views on your Championship club, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, we've been looking back at last night's fixtures. We're also looking ahead to tonight's fixtures. We've got five in total at the iPro. Derby are at home against Wigan. Fulham take on Luton at Craven Cottage. And as we told you earlier, if you fancy going on, tickets are still available at fulhamfc.com. Huddersfield take on Middlesbrough. Nottingham Forest are at home against Hull City. At Ashton Gate, Bristol City looking to bounce back from a disappointing defeat on the weekend. They host Charlton, and we're going to get the Charlton perspective now. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Lewis Katz, pundit for fan podcast and radio show Charlton Live. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lewis. On the weekend, a 3-0 home win against Derby. A convincing result. Was it a convincing performance to go along with the result?
Definitely. Yeah, I was taken a bit by surprise, if I'm honest. You don't really expect us to be putting away teams as easy as that, especially teams the size of Derby. You're going on how they performed last year. They've lost a lot of players in the meantime, of course. But when you look at us as a squad and how we're doing this season, coming up against sides that were in the playoff final of their own division last year, and to be putting them away 3-0 completely convincingly as well. There was no luck about it. We outplayed them in every aspect across the park. So not even really, it's not even really becoming a surprise anymore. I think we're becoming more and more confident each week and as we go on. And you go into more games now feeling like there's every chance that we're going to come away with 3 points. And that's a massive sentiment to how good of a job Lee Bowyer is doing.
We were talking, we revealed a stat earlier that in 2019, if Charlton were to win tonight, they would go above Liverpool in terms of points across the four divisions in 2019, only behind Manchester City. That is just a testament to how good a job Lee Bowyer is doing, because not all of those games are in League One. Obviously, 12 of them have been in the Championship, so it just shows how good a job Lee Bowyer is doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad going, is it, at all, really, especially to be up there with teams like Liverpool and City when it comes to points ratio. Yeah, like you say, he's doing an incredible job and his stock as a manager is rising week in, week out. People are starting to take notice now. I think at the start of the season, we were probably the underdog and sort of going under the radar. And when we were picking up wins against the likes of Stoke and Blackburn, it was still a little bit like you could see it as if the positivity was just a bit of a follow-up from that playoff final victory. But we're still doing it. You know, we're in October now. If we win tonight, we go level on points with Leeds, who are in second place. And you'd be teeing up for a top two clash on Saturday against West Brom, which, again, I think they'll be looking at that as a difficult game. I don't think anyone would fancy playing us at all at the minute. And, yeah, as you say, Lee Bowyer is just, he's a credit to the football club and the squad that he's assembled with the resources that he's handed from an owner that bizarrely still isn't interested, regardless of how well we're doing, is a massive testament. It just shows him, you know, as a man as well as a manager, he's a great person to have around your football club. And all the while that he's on there on that contract that he's on, which is seems to be like a 1 year rolling, there's always going to be the risk that someone is going to come in and take him off of our hands. And the likes of Leeds and that will always fancy him because of his history there, and Bielsa's not going to be there forever. So I'd worry a little bit until we've got him tied down. But I think all Charlton fans at the moment just enjoying the ride and just going into the season with such low expectation. We all thought that we'd be down there battling for survival, and we look at how we're doing at the moment and we're thinking maybe we need to reevaluate where we are going to end up this season, because there's every sort of possibility that we could end up pushing for the top six, which if someone said that to me at the start of the season, I'd call them bonkers.
It was interesting to read some of Lee Bowyer's comments after the win against Derby, saying that he had never played, from his quote, "We've never played that formation before. We tried it on Thursday for the first time. Everything we asked the players to do, they did. Tactically, I thought we were spot on. In and out of possession, I thought we were by far the better side." Did that strike you from an early point in the game? You're thinking, I haven't really seen this before, but do you think it's something because of the result that Lee Bowyer is going to continue with, or do you think he might kind of flick between the two, trying to find what is the best on a general basis?
Yeah, I mean, with Bowyer, he assesses every game as it comes. I mean, different teams set up so differently, especially in the Championship. He thought that the formation we played Saturday would expose Derby County, and he was right to think so, because they looked completely off it for the entire game. You know, we're playing people out of position, and they're thriving. You know, the likes of Jay Forster-Kafke, he's been out of football for a year. We saw him a little bit towards the tail end of last season, and the start of this season, it didn't really look like he was up to speed. He's had a couple of weeks sort of away and training and out of the squad, and he's come in at a left wing back role, which is completely unfamiliar to him, and he's performing and he's thriving in that role. And it just shows that any player of that size is willing to do what it takes to sort of stamp their ground and keep their place, but also fight and battle for the shirt and for Lee Bowyer. And it's really paying off at the moment, because I don't think teams will look at us and expect us to line up the same every game. I think we're sort of keeping opposition guessing, and that's playing in our favour, because we've got such versatility in the squad that we could afford to do that. And there are so many teams in the Championship and so many managers, especially in football these days, that are just so rigid with their tactics and stick with the same lineup and same formation. And it can play in, you know, it can play out of favour. We had it with Carl Robinson when he was here, that he was so stubborn that he'd stick to the formation of his 4-2-3-1 and it wouldn't always pay off. And if it didn't pay off, we'd expect to see a change the following week and we'd never see it. And you'd get another disappointing result on top of that. So it's nice for us to see our supporters being refreshed and being kept fresh every game. And it keeps oppositions guessing, and no one at the moment will want to face us the way we're playing, even in formations that may not be too similar to us.
in the absence of Lyle Taylor, I'm sure Charleston fans may have been a little bit worried about how they would deal without him. But the way that Macaulay Bonn, who scored three goals, and Conor Gallagher, who scored five, both of them scored in that win on the weekend, they've proven that as a squad, they are capable of things, and that other players are able to contribute, not just the same old that got Charlton promoted into the Championship.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're young players that are coming in and buying into the cause. I mean, you talk about Macaulay Bonn. He came in as a bit of a project and a bit of an investment. I don't think any of us really expected to see him in and around the first team early doors because of the experience he has in football. He's sort of played non-league and he's thrived at that level. But the jump is huge from non-league to Championship. And he's come in and he's looked incredible. And he's doing his job and he's doing what Bayer expects of him. And the same with Conor Gallagher. You know, for someone who's in their first season of senior football to be performing the way he is and scoring the goals he is. I mean, I don't know if you saw the goal that he scored Saturday, but it was an absolute cracker. And the confidence that's flowing through both those players at the moment is working in our favour. And when you do lose someone like Lyle Taylor with an injury that's kept him out as long as it has, you do need those players to step up and take their chance. And I don't think anyone could say that Macaulay Bonn hasn't taken his chance. He's come in and he's sort of blown everybody away, really. I was so impressed with him on Saturday, just like I was at Fulham, coming up against big experienced defenders and sort of making them look a little bit silly, really. And we've got three goals in four appearances to show for that as well. So it's a great credit. It's just to our whole squad, really, the depth that we have and the fact that we have these players that are willing to sort of put their bodies on the line and make the step up. It's a massive positive for us, and it can only help us as the season progresses because we are going to get injuries as we go on. So we've got to make sure that we've got the squad there that are ready to take the step up if called upon.
And just finally, quickly, tonight, obviously, Bristol City away at Ashton Gate. Bristol City looking to bounce back from a 3-0 defeat at Luton on the weekend. How do you see that one playing out?
It's going to be a tough game tonight, I think. Again, though, I'd fancy us to beat anybody at the moment in the form that we're in. Bristol City are a side that I tipped, actually, for promotion at the start of the season. They've got a great young manager as well in Lee Johnson, and they've got talented young players. I think they're short of a few tonight in terms of injuries, so is all the reason for us to go there and push for the 3 points. We've got going to probably have Sam Field and Jonathan Lecco getting 90 minutes tonight with them being unable to play on Saturday when we come up against West Brom. So I'd fancy us to go there tonight and take the points. But no game in this division is easy. You've got to go into it and take every game as it comes. And I still think that we'll surprise a few this season and that will that should carry on tonight. Fingers crossed.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lewis. That was Lewis Katz, pundit for fan podcast and radio show Charlton Live. Charlton travel to Bristol City tonight. The other four fixtures, Derby are at home against Wigan, Fulham host Luton, Huddersfield are at home against Middlesbrough, and Nottingham Forest take on Hull City. So plenty of Championship fixtures to look out for.
This is Love Sport.